For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I feel like I have a responsibility today, BT, to uplift my fellow friends here, sports fans in New York, and Yankee fans everywhere who were calling us quite confident a week ago, I would say some even arrogant, that the Yankees were going to, in fact, win the World Series. And here we are. They have not won a game in the World Series yet, of the first three, but it is not over. It is
not over.
Thanks,
I feel good.
The Yankees still have a chance. Hey, until the fat lady sings, we saw Fat Joe yesterday, but until that fat lady sings, it isn't over, BT. Yanks still have a chance, only down 0-3 to the Dodgers.
Yeah, they have a chance if they wake up and actually start playing baseball. If they resemble the team that's taken the field the first three games, it's over, and it's over fast tonight. Yankees look bad. You know, and more specifically, the difference in either dynamic athletes or length in lineup or execute, Dodgers are just, I strongly thought that they were slightly better. I didn't think that they were this much better. They are. That doesn't mean that something incredibly improbable can't happen. I'm going to the game tonight, so I'm going to be out there and, you know, hopefully come with a win tomorrow and stretch this thing out and get back to L.A. at some point.
Are you going to be wearing black?
Hey, BT, before we move on.
Yes.
You know, I have to get you. Come on, bro.
It's not even over, though.
No, I know.
Although I did that before the Mets series was over. True. Listen, it's all funny games. Yeah, no. I got you. I got to wear big boy pants. If I want to have fun with Sal, then Sal can certainly have fun with me. You know, there's so many plays last night, whether it's, you know, Betts making the diving play in right field and then Soto not taking a good route on that broken bat base hit by Betts. And you see a little difference there. You know, two games ago, Soto had a chance to gun. I forget who it was. Somebody down at home plate, but he's a little lazy with the exchange, a little bit up the line, safe. Last night, Teoscar Hernandez has a chance to shoot somebody down at the plate, and he unleashes a 95-mile-per-hour heat. That's what he actually clocked, 94, from left field, Stanton out by a hair. Dodgers just look better. They're playing better, and if this keeps up, they're going to be champions.
So here's, like, there are obviously many layers to what's going on here, but for me, I'm watching the same Yankee team that I've seen all year long, and I think there are two differences from what we saw in the regular season to what we're seeing now in the World Series. Number one, Aaron Judge, where he's just not the same player and hasn't been. I was surprised. I thought he'd get going. I still do have faith in Aaron Judge. Like, it's only three games, and you want to go to the postseason. Still a small sample size, but he's running out of time.
When do we stop saying that, by the way?
Okay, so big difference. Like, the Yankees getting guys thrown out at home plate, Stanton in particular, like, that's happened. Gleyber making stupid mistakes, that's happened before. Yankees have had good pitching, but they haven't done the little things well enough. Those things have happened. The biggest difference outside of Judge, who's been great in the regular season and awful in the postseason, is the quality of competition. And that, to me, was the biggest thing going into the World Series. I was saying that the National League is far superior than the American League. And the Yankees had, I mean, all due respect to the Royals and the Guardians, it was, as Boomer said, a cakewalk to get to the World Series. Now, they got there. Can't take it away. That's who they play. Yep. But this was a major step up in class. And even though the series is 3-0, I don't think it's as great a disparity as that would seem. These games have been close, and the Yankees could have easily won Game 1, could have come back in Game 2. And again, like, if you can't hit, you can't score, you can't win games.
And Torres had the bat taken out of his hand last night. That was obviously high, and then he got Soto coming up. And, but hey, you're down 3-0. There's no excuses. Yankees have not won a game.
But they're not getting away. With the things that they were getting away with against a lesser caliber opponent.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. You know, I think in baseball, it's harder. It's not impossible, but I think it's hard to detect a lack of aggression. And I don't mean on the bases. I mean, at home plate. Like, think about, I mean, we'll do a little.
Would you have sent Stanton?
No, I would not. Now, I realize the thought, we're not hitting, there's two outs, it's got to be a perfect, you know, exchange, crow hop, one hop, dime,
tag. It was a perfect throw.
It was
right perfect,
and it was 94 miles an hour, and it was perfect hop. Will Smith could catch and like a shortstop. Yeah. Perfect. Now, I would not have sent him. Number one, he's just too slow.
Yeah.
But the other thing, and I put this up on my X account last night, and again, it's easier for me doing this on my couch with the fireplace going than in real time trying to, as Rojas is trying to determine, and Rojas is not very good, but as he's trying to determine what to do, I have a still shot of Hernandez getting the, actually having the baseball. Did
yeah,
you
I
see
saw
that?
This. I did.
Having the baseball, and Giancarlo Stanton is literally on third base. It wasn't deep left. It was moderately, you know, whatever. It wasn't shallow, wasn't deep, somewhere in between left field. He's not going to make that. Even if it's an imperfect throw, it's probably still too risky, but they also weren't hitting, so I understand trying to force the envelope a little bit. I do.
Agreed. I'm generally of the belief you put pressure, like, if you can't score from second base on a base hit in the big leagues, you shouldn't be in the big leagues. And I firmly believe in putting pressure on the defense to have to make that play. However, my initial reaction watching the play live on my couch, I'm thinking, whoa. Like, I could not believe that they sent Giancarlo Stanton there.
Yep.
And
yep,
then, again, it did take a perfect throw to get him the way that it was. It was a bang-bang play.
It was a great throw.
But still, it's Giancarlo, which is why, let's go back to the regular season or even the offseason, we both, you and I, had right or wrong, we both had a problem with the way the team was constructed because of things like that. Because of Gleyber doing boneheaded things that's eventually going to cost the Yankees, because of Giancarlo not being able to play baseball. Yeah, he can mash baseballs, and he's been arguably their best hitter, him and Soto, their two best hitters in the postseason, sure. I mean, Gleyber, I know offensively too, but you get it with Stanton, with the game record, with the home runs. But he, when he's on the bases, he can't run. And not to mention that he can't play the field, so he's useless. Like, this is some of the issue that we both had with the Yankees as far as building the team going into the year. And they've made it this far. And they should get great accolades for making it to the World Series. However, you're seeing the other team that's better do those little things that's proving to be a big difference in this World
Series. Well, and by the way, we probably omitted three or four other things. Like, think about Edmund keeping the ball in the infield in Los Angeles. Little things like that. The Yankees couldn't
Oswaldo
do that.
Couldn't. Yep.
You know, that ball was hit hard, but obviously Cabrera didn't make the play. I started to say before, I think it's a little tricky sometimes to identify, like, not effort, but real aggression in baseball outside of the bases. Like football, you can kind of tell you're hitting people. Basketball, you can tell, are you hitting the window? Or are you getting back a transition defense? Baseball's a little trickier, but I didn't see the number, and I'm going to give John Boyd credit until this morning, but I'm sitting there last night watching the game with my son, and he said it more than me. He's like, swing the bat. And I'm like, man, they are letting an inordinate, and I didn't know the number, an inordinate amount of good pitches go right down the heart of the plate without swinging. So I'm on social media this morning, and I see the number from John Boy. The Yankees watched 24 four-seam fastballs go by that were called for strikes. That's a lot. Now, what does that even mean? Like, what second? What is that? Like, what's the comparison? The Nationals, all right, in May, they had 27. Which was the most of any team in baseball all season. I know that's a lot of almost baseball gibberish, but the bottom line is this. Last night, the Yankees let dead red fastballs go over the plate, and they did not attack.
Does that account for some of the bad calls?
I don't know. I do think it accounts for
the
some bad approaches.
Yeah,
whether it's Judge and Volpe swinging at that slop and other guys expanding the zone.
Can't be passing up fastballs.
You can't.
And especially even the close ones. Like, I know people are going to be whining about the Gleyber stuff. Like, you got to swing the bat. And these umps, I will say, the umps have been horrendous for both sides.
Starting with game one for both
exactly.
ways. They were,
all three
was terrible.
The game, the home plate umps have not been very good. 1-3, probably the worst. But Yankees offensively, for me, BT, the number one thing that when we'll talk this out and move on once this series is officially over, assuming that the Dodgers finish it off at some point, and who knows? I mean, maybe the Yankees rewrite history and come back here, we'll see. But it's going to take a lot to beat the Dodgers four in a row. I mean, they haven't been able to do it once so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a lot to do it four in a row. But you have to sit back and think, okay, well, why? why are the Yankees not winning any games against the Dodgers? Okay, yeah, the Dodgers are better, but why? The Yankees have Judge and Soto and Stanton.
Sounds good.
Torres is hitting. They have Cole and Rodon and Clark Schmidt. Like, they had the better pitching going in. The bullpen is, the Yankee pitching has been, I think, really good. I know the starters haven't gone long, but the Yankees aren't giving up a ton of runs
to the Dodgers. Bullpen stabilized every game.
The bullpen's been great.
Except, obviously, Cortez game one, but we'll talk about that.
But even that game, like, all right, whatever, it happens. You get beat by Freddie Freeman, who, by the way, doesn't just hit home runs off of Cortez. He's hit home runs off of everybody.
Yes.
So why? And for me, it comes down to, again, the construction of this team that it's the same thing with the Brian Cashman teams. It's why we both were picking them apart for years. I know the results, and they won all these games and the best team in the American League, and here they are in the World Series. But there's something off where they just don't do, they don't play a good brand of baseball, and eventually it's going to catch up with you. And this year it seems like that's the case in the World Series.
I totally agree. I look around the field, and in a weird way, if certain things happen, and I think certainly several of these things will happen that I'm about to reference, I think in some way we could look back at this year as an overachievement. There's a very, now you don't want to get broomed in the World Series. I mean, that's embarrassing, but to get to the World Series, when you look at so many of the issues on this team, next year the Yankees will have a new first baseman. They very well, if it's up to me, you know that they will have a new second baseman. All right, I like Wells, but we got to see.
I still think there's good potential there.
I do too.
Also thought that was a mistake not starting him last
me
night.
Me too. A horrendous decision. Torino's first at bat, strike one, strike two, strike three. Not that Wells has been a whole lot better, but
no. But at least he gives
Trevino
you a chance.
Can't even take it deep.
Yeah, at least Wells is a little bit of a threat
and a better receiver, much better throwing the baseball, which is what I texted you about.
I know.
Yeah, come on. So you're gonna have a new first baseman, might have a new second baseman, catcher. I agree. That's gonna be fine. You might have a new right fielder. You probably will have a new left fielder. Like, there are a lot of things that are going to change, and quite frankly, that's not a bad thing, because at the end of the day, the Yankees don't seem to have enough versatile, dynamic athletes. They don't have a lot of guys that you have nobody you can pull off the bench to go and give you that bat in a big spot, in a meaningful spot late in the game. Nobody. Trevino was the other night. I mean, that tells you all you need to know. You really don't have any true blazers, and the guys do have speed, obviously Jazz, Chisholm, and Volpe. You know, Volpe is, I watch him play, Sal.
Yeah.
And
he's been a problem.
I got to tell you, you know, I've hinted at this, but I'm going to say it now, whether he's from New Jersey or he lives right next door to me, it doesn't matter at this point. And it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know if he's going to be good at all. Like, I was texting with a coach last night. I was texting with a coach. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I do have to very quickly. I'm like, man, his approach. I
you
basically
mean a big league coach?
No, minor league
coach.
I said, he's so easy to get out. He's so easy to pitch now. He said he is and always will be average. Volpe. The Yankees are wrong. And then he goes into how the Yankees are really never ready in the first two innings. And then he goes into some different stuff. But his assessment of Volpe was, you know, he is what he is, and he's never going to be much better than this. You can pitch him so easy. Fastball upstairs, never gets to it. Slider on the black, can't lay off of it. I mean, how do you ever hit 300? How do you do 270 if that's your approach at the plate? So there are just a lot of issues here. And, you know, do I think it ends tonight? I don't. I still think that this Yankees team is going to put up a 5 or 6 or 7 spot. And if you can't do it against the bullpen, in a bullpen game,
right.
You deserve to get swept.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's hear from you. 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Eddie is in Queens. What's up, Eddie?
Yeah, hi, guys. I just want to touch on what you were just talking about with the construction of the team. And this team is just soft. They are a soft bunch of guys that do not know how to play scrappy, win-all baseball.
Yeah.
You look back at the teams in the 90s. They didn't have superstars. They had a few. But they were scrappy guys that played hard-nosed baseball.
But ball
and
players.
And this goes back to early... What?
Ball players. The Yankees don't have enough ball players.
Yeah. They don't have good, hard-nosed baseball players. And it goes back to earlier in the year with the whole thing with Baltimore hitting our guys. And it was a whole discussion about the retaliation.
Yeah.
There's no discussion. He hits our guy.
Yep.
You hit him back. Case closed. I mean, C.C. Sabathia in 2009 or whatever year it was, he lost $500,000 because they hit two guys in a row. And he went out there and threw the ball right at the guy. And I'm not saying it's the right thing, but it's
hard. I got you. And by the way, Eddie, you can, and thanks for the call, you can be that guy, that pitcher, that team that retaliates. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win. But when you do, it's not just so much about retaliation, but I do think that that's an interesting point. And you and I debated that, and that always bothers me. You know, Roger Clemens did it. CC Sabathia did it. You know, the Mets back in 86 always did it. They had a million brawls. That's not about brawls, but it is about a personality trait. It is about a togetherness and a connectivity and having the backs of your players. And, you know, it's funny. Verdugo came here with the expression, you know, a bunch of dogs. They don't have many dogs.
Right.
They don't.
They don't have, and I don't think it's because they're soft.
No, well, I mean.
Soft to me is a, like, I understand the term. I don't think the Yankees are soft. I just don't think they're built well where they have, again, too many of the same thing. They don't have enough ball players. Kike Hernandez, ball player.
Yeah,
Tommy Edman. By the way, would you have rather traded for Tommy Edman or Jazz Chisholm? Like, look at what Tommy Edman does. And I get what Jazz brings.
You know,
Tommy Edman's a better ball player. He's not a star like Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
He's a better ball player. Guy was an MVP of the NLCS, and he's doing good things in the World Series that helps you win games.
Yeah, I mean, I would have said, you know, when the trade went down, I was all for Jazz. And I like Jazz. I think next year, over 162, because he's got great control abilities. Well, I think he's got more of a ceiling than Tommy Edman for sure. But, like, right now, he's a scrappy kind of player that helps you win these games.
Yeah, but that's kind of the point, right? You look at Jazz on paper and you say, oh, Jazz Chisholm. And, yes, you watch him play, and he does bring something different than the Yankees have. Athleticism. He can field his position. I know he makes the error last night.
Yeah,
and he's been awful in the postseason.
He took his eye off the ball. He's looking up.
Whatever. He's been awful in the postseason, and he's got to get, like, I think there are some issues there. But point is, look at Edman. The Dodgers, who are loaded beyond belief with superstars out the wazoo. And yet they still went out there at the trade deadline and got a guy like Edmund.
Multiple guys.
Who's been a difference maker. Yeah, okay,
they got a couple guys.
But the point is, like, they have ball players that do the little things well. Also, they're superstars. Like, Betts is well-rounded superstar, making great plays in right field. I'm not trying to knock Juan Soto because I still think he's going to be, you know, I want him on the Mets in free agency. And I think he's worth $700 million, whatever it may be.
Bad outfielder.
But he's not a – and what happens, BT? It costs them. So you have two guys. Like, Judge being bad in the postseason is one thing, and then you're – other two big stars, Soto has limitations in the outfield that has cost the Yankees a time.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy, Stanton, your big bat, who's always hitting home runs left and right, he's going to cost you on the base pass and lack of versatility.
Like, can't run. The worst thing about last night is that the home crowd never had a chance to get off the ground. I mean, Fat Joe's performance was flat.
Well, Fat Joe did get him going a little bit.
It was flat. It was flat. It compared was to the Ice Cube out there? I mean,
I'm not going to knock Fat Joe.
Me
I
neither.
Like Fat Joe.
I'm a Fat Joe guy.
But it was no,
It was, I didn't think the acoustics were good, quite frankly.
Yeah,
it
sounded bad.
It did sound, I'm not saying that that's his fault, but like that didn't work.
I don't want any smoke from Fat Joe.
No, definitely. We're going to run from smoke. I'm a Fat Joe guy. Fat Joe.
Too, right.
I'm saying I wish the acoustics were better so we could have really done his thing. And obviously, you know, if the Yankees don't give up a four-pitch walk to start the game and a two-run missile.
That can't swing, by the way. What is Clark Schmidt doing?
I don't know, man. That was, as like the crowd was just, it was muted from the game. It never had a chance to even try to build.
Well, when you see Freddie Freeman hit one 9 miles, let's get one more call in before we break. Chief is in Cherry Hill. What's up, Chief?
I'm doing good. How are you guys today?
Great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's on your mind?
What's up, buddy?
What's on my mind is, you know, I never read too much into player meetings, but when you hear last night at the beginning of the game them talking about how Anthony Rizzo, you know, speaking at a players only meeting, and then they show up like that the first couple innings, it's as if they were never even there. Nothing happened. They come out, they're flat. like you said earlier, the amount of fastballs down the plate, I mean, some of those pitches were batting cage pitches. I mean, just swing. Their bats are sitting on their shoulder, uncompetitive at bats. And, yes, I love the pickup of Jazz. But forget about the error of last night. But Jazz's postseason looks like it's a game in the middle of June or July. There was no urgency from this team. Nothing at all. I get Judge's struggling. I get it all. But nobody else on the team is picking up. No competitive at-bats. No athleticism anywhere. You watch the plays that Mookie made last night. Tommy Edman. There's no chance of Volpe or Glaber's making a play like Tommy Edman made last night. There's nothing going on. There's nothing to root for. Like you said, the fans have nothing. They're sitting in the seats doing nothing. How could they? There's no team on the field. You scored two runs in the ninth inning with two outs. How, as a fan, could you root?
I wouldn't say they had nothing, Chief, and thank you for the call. I thought the roll call was pretty vociferous to start. I'm serious.
Are you serious?
I don't love the roll call. You know, I'm not a fan of that, but I thought it was pretty loud.
I love it.
To me, it was a noticeable uptick in velo from the Bleacher Creatures.
They were like, doing A-Rod and Jeets on the...
They got into... So I think the crowd was
the
ready to go.
And they were ready. And then the game started.
Yeah, well, and then the players... I mean, you can't have at-bats the way the Yankees did, quietly in the night. And they haven't scored many runs in the series overall, and, you know, three of the runs or whatever have come in the ninth inning.
Like, I know. Listen, there's... In baseball, when you don't... Here's the problem with baseball. When you don't hit, you look either not fully engaged or not soft, but just not locked in. And that's not always the case. I mean, sometimes you could be, I'm not making excuses, Yanks it down 3-0, and they've looked bad in a lot of spots. And the Dodgers have looked immeasurably better. But when you struggle in baseball in the batter's box, there is generally a feeling of, like, lethargy that just kind of creeps in. And it's usually not that you're not trying. A lot of times it's that you're trying too hard, but nobody wants to hear it. This is the World Series,
right?
And the Yankees have been pushed around and basically smacked around so far.
Here's the good news. It ain't over yet.
Now, I'm not going there to lose tonight.
You're going to the game tonight.
I'm coming home with a win tonight.
Over the next 4 hours, I feel like it's my duty to uplift not only you.
I'm pretty uplifted. Honestly, you
seem pretty good.
No, I'm pretty good.
You seem pretty good.
I'm pretty good because I understand that the Dodgers are... Or better. Like, what I can't deal with is, you know, losing to the Patriots when you're the Jets or whatever. Like, that's the stuff that drives me nuts.
You don't want to get swept, though.
No, I agree. Like, historically, that would bother me.
Are some other teams that have played better against the Dodgers in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. And are those other teams watching the Yankees in the World Series? Like, you guys? Is that what you're getting at? Who'd you sign? I see you signed the AAA pitcher yesterday. How'd that go? Whatever his name was. Hey, listen. We'll get to that Yankee-Mets Soto stuff and all. We got plenty of time. The Japanese pitcher, both teams might be chasing. Right now, the Yankees aren't dead. And until they get, you know, stuffed in the meat locker and toe-tagged, it ain't over. And it's not over yet.
You could paint the
not
path
over
as
yet.
Well. Bullpen game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Cole game five.
Yeah. Would you pitch Cole tonight?
I would not.
Yeah,
not
they're
at this
not
point.
Going to. But...
Not at this point. Yeah. I almost think down 2-1, I'd rather pitch him as opposed to 0-3. Anyway, we could have those conversations. We come back.
The harder the comeback sound, the more epic the celebration.
Yeah,
that's my
that's
mantra.
What I'm talking
there
about.
You go. That's my mantra for today. All right.
Hey, Yankee fans, if anybody should know,
uh-huh.
It is possible.
Although the Yankee fans who are younger have never felt that. That's a blind feeling, but, you know, I've seen it, so I'm good, and I'm looking forward to tonight big time. Slight grievance here with Judge, and it has nothing to do with the way he's swinging the bat. Which obviously is just unacceptable and historically awful. All right. He's a mess. He's lost. We've known this for a while now. It might be a nitpick here. And I'm going to ride with Judge till the end of the earth here. For his talent, for his character. Mm. He's my guy. He's our guy. But I'd like to see a little bit of a different approach in the postgame. Because, and it's not just this series. Every time he's asked about his postseason slump, this goes back to even the Guardians too, he has taken the approach, and I get it. But I don't want to hear this anymore. And I'm going to summarize. Hey, I got to take my walks. And he said, I got to play a little bit better. But I'm going to take my walks, get on base, pass the baton. No. I just once want to hear Aaron Judge say, and I know it's a little out of character because the great thing about Judge is when he's doing so well and he's all world amazing, he's humble and he deflects it away from himself, which is which is an amazing attribute. So few people have that. So he's being consistent. Which I respect, but I'd like to see him say, hey, listen, guys, in a more direct, more succinct manner, I haven't got it done. And if I don't wake up, we can't win. Like, I'd like to hear that. I don't know if it would jolt him.
Right.
I don't know if it would change anything. If everyone might not change anything. But I'm getting a little tired of the, hey, I just got to take my walks and pass the baton. No, you got to rocket a few over the fence is what you got to do.
Right, but the one thing is he is out of character in extending or expanding his zone, which maybe he's just saying it to try to remind himself, I got to take my walks. I don't want to try and do too much.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do agree with you that it is commendable when he is going great and he says, you know, the team is playing well. But the other part of that would be commendable is when the team's struggling, and you in particular struggling, put it on your shoulders. You're the captain.
Yep.
You got to take the brunt of it and say, look, bottom line is if I don't produce, well, I don't know the exact way to do it without offending anybody else, but I need to be better. I need to get us going.
That's it.
Yeah, whatever. Spark the team, however you want to put it.
I'd like to see that. I mean, Jalen Brunson's done that.
Yeah.
And they're on the same
Even
level
did it last
here.
Last night, Brunson.
I actually heard that. I'm so pissed they lost. I was looking at the score. Yeah, they're up by, like, I don't know, 16. I'm like, all right, here we go.
We'll get into the Knicks, obviously, you know, next week or something like that once the baseball is officially over, maybe tomorrow.
Easy.
But we'll find that out. But no.
You want the Yanks to win tonight?
I do.
Yeah.
Because I said Dodgers in five, and I want to be right. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what to believe, honestly, BT, because I thought, based off the first two games, that this would be more of a competitive series, and I thought the Yanks last night would definitely get the bats going. Like, even if they were to lose, I didn't think it would be like that.
I know.
This series has not been... neither team is scoring as much as I thought that they would be scoring in the three games. And the Yankees have done nothing. At least the Dodgers have done enough to win all three of these games. A bullpen game, you would think, favors the Yankees here, but who the hell knows?
Well, you would think, but let's face it, because we said this yesterday on the show here, a bullpen game today is made much easier for the Yankees if the Yankees really were able to more significantly tap into their bullpen last night by putting up some crooked numbers early, which they did not. So,
and Dave Roberts still going to the pen, I think, way too early.
I agree. I would not have pulled him last night.
He's as nasty as they come. You're pulling him for jazz? You got to go to the lefty there?
I told you, he was good last time. I was a little worried about Walker Buehler going into that game, and his stuff is coming back here. Yeah. He just has a nasty disposition, and his stuff is pretty nasty, as we all know. I think that if you told me, hey, the Yanks going to lose a couple of games early, one game's going to be 8-6, you know, somebody in the bullpen gives up a three-run bomb. Well, I mean, we did, basically, a grand slam. But the Yankees' offense was there, and that's really how they lost, I'd say, okay, I would expect maybe that kind of a profile game more so than the Yankees going down meekly into tonight without hitting at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, they're not hitting.
That's the issue. I didn't think they would pitch as well as they are, but I thought they would hit a lot more. Dave is in Rockville Center. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right, buddy. What's happening?
I'm so angry. You know, BT, look, the formula doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You know, I'm just tired of the Bronx Bombers. That formula needs to die. You know, if you remember, I called during the regular season, negative phone call, and I said 7 out of the last 8 tries to either go to the World Series or win it, they've lost. 2009, I consider an aberration. Since A-Rod got here in 2004, they've been the best losers in baseball. And the reason for that, I said in that phone call, was they don't make adjustments. Hey, I got a to-do list for you. There are two items on it, okay? When you're in a slump in the World Series, here are the tiers of two things you need to do. Number one, when you have 0 or 1 strikes on you, swing as hard as you can. Number two, when you have 2 strikes on you, swing as hard as you can. Do you see how hard Austin Wells swings at the ball?
Yep.
How hard Aaron Judge, his first swing of the game, he swung so hard I thought he was going to fall over. That is not the approach to take whether you're in the World Series in a slump or whether you're not in a slump.
The one thing, Dave, I would push back a little bit. I don't mind Judge or anybody, you know, going hunting on that first pitch. And I remember the pitch well. That was an aggressive swing. I think what doesn't happen enough for this Yankees team is they don't change their approach when there's 2 strikes. You know, put it up. A-Rod was talking about this pregame, you know, and A-Rod's a little corny, whatever. But, I mean, I could listen to him talk hitting all day. And he was talking about Judge specifically. And was just about how, you know, he kind of equivocated it to golf. If you know anything about golf, if you're a righty, you want to almost kind of the way you swing, you kind of go towards second base. I mean, I can't do this. I try. But, you know, if you're a good golfer, you're not as a golf swing, you're not hitting the shortstop. You're kind of going out to second, and then obviously you turn the club head over, and then boom, you hit the ball up the middle and you hit it on the fairway. And it's kind of similar with baseball, where you got to let it travel deep, because if you let it travel deep, you're not flailing to changeups and soft stuff. Now, you might get beat once in a while with a real fastball, but their approach is atrocious. And Sal, I don't think it's just the men in the dugout. I think it's a deep-rooted organizational thing. You know how they show on TV that, like, circular rainbow?
The swing,
okay, the path, the path to the swing. I think that they messed up Volpe's path. I think that there's been too many, even maybe Greg Bird back in the day, and maybe even Austin Wells. Like, they always look to change bat path and swing trajectory, and I just don't get it.
There's only one they didn't mess with, Soto. Who swings as level of a bat as I've ever seen.
He does.
Doesn't matter where the pitch is.
I know.
Level on everything. Hammer it to left, left center, pull the ball.
That's amazing.
In the gap, home run, whatever. He just level swings. Squaring the baseball up. And everybody else, you're seeing that kind of uppercut, especially with Judge. They showed it last night, I thought, pretty well.
And Volpe.
With Judge. Yeah, well, Volpe's just.
But that's why he can't get to the high stuff, because, you know, it's tough enough when it's, you know, up at your chest or at your eyes when it's 95. If you've got a little bit of an uppercut, there's no way you could catch that ball. When, I don't care if you're working, if you live in the cage for 20 hours a day, it's not happening.
And when Volpe is on, he's swinging the level bat to right field.
Correct.
That's when you know that.
And that's what he did in April,
yeah,
Sal.
I know. Did
we're
it very
like,
well.
Oh, who is this Volpe?
I thought he was going to be a superstar.
So does this.
We had Cash Manon. I told him to his face, and he's like, yeah, I agree. Well, guess what? We were both wrong, Cash. I'll admit, I was wrong on that one. Now, I'm not saying he can't be. I still have high hopes for him, but, I mean, what are we doing here?
I've got hopes for him, for sure. My hopes are not nearly as high as they once were. I just see too many problems with his swing.
Chris is in Belleville. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you, Chris?
Hey, two things if you let me get to them. One on Judge, because you had just brought it up. You know, I don't need to see him go back to the dugout and baseball bat to Gatorade cooler like O'Neill used to do. But a friend did say Saturday night to me, and he's like, this guy shows no emotion when he strikes out. He's got that kind of same grimacing look on his face as he goes back. And so, I don't know. Just like, you'd like to see some emotion out of this guy to maybe even help mentally snap himself out of it.
I think you could see he's frustrated, though. He may not be hitting a cooler, but I think you could see it on his face. Aaron Judge is frustrated. He's wearing this.
Yeah, he is.
The second point I wanted to make was, you know, they're down 3-0, and it looks like they've been so overmatched. You know, the Dodgers have only out-hit the Yankees 20 to 19 hits in this entire series, even though it feels like it's double that. And
well, you know,
really,
every time the Yanks have made a mistake, the Dodgers have cashed in. That's really the difference in the series.
That's my point. It doesn't feel like a tradition. Like, the Mets didn't go down 0-3, but it felt worse. The 4-2 felt a lot worse than this 3-0 right now from a Yankees perspective.
And it's the things that don't show up in the box score, that when the Yankees are hitting the ball on the screws, the Dodgers either get to it quicker or they limit to it to a single. Mm-hmm. When the Dodgers are hitting the ball on the screws, they're either missing the ball together, or they're letting them turn a single into a double and a triple, and then they get to sacrifice them in. Those are the things that aren't showing up. They're just
taking
more
the extra
athletic,
base.
More fast.
Yeah, taking it. Thanks for the call. Taking the
that's
extra
call,
base
Chris.
And a ball in a gap.
I know.
Going first to third. Like, those little things add up.
Yeah, they do.
That's how they're winning.
They put stress on you. The Yankees don't. You know, it's funny because you talk about Judge's demeanor when things aren't going well. And Sal's right, even though he's not, you know, going Paul O'Neill on the bat rack. You could tell that he's definitely wearing it. I see it both ways. Like, I'm pretty sure if I was on the Yankees or you were on the Mets and we're playing a huge game or we're in a long, prolonged funk, I could promise you something's getting smashed.
Yeah,
that's just us.
Right.
And that works for us. What I don't necessarily think that Aaron Judge should do, and it doesn't seem like he's even remotely thinking about it, which is not a bad thing, deviating from character and deviating from personality and focus when one specific way's gotten you so far to the top of the, not from a team perspective, from an individual performance perspective, to the top of the baseball mountain, are you going to really start changing it now? I think that would be even more worrisome, because now it shows a crack in the foundation. I get it. Maybe it makes us feel Lavers would get pissed, O'Neill, Tino would get pissed, Posada would get pissed.
Yeah, but that was them.
I liked it.
You're right. That was them, though.
But that was them.
Yeah, and it's not Aaron Judge. Look, he needs to just figure it out. I do think, though, now, I still don't think it's the pressure, and we'll do more on this, of course, throughout the course of the show. I don't think it's just the pressure, but now, when you're down 0-3, there's got to be, you're human, there's got to be a, I screwed this up element to it, and feeling the pressure like it's either now or never for the Yankees.
Well, that might not be a bad thing, because sometimes when that happens, sometimes you
feel like it's already lost.
And the inward pressure, you know, I reference golf a lot, but I think about how many times you get a snowman, you're like, God, dude, my round is mad. Well, I can't. I'm gonna shoot. And then, you know, you're pure a 5-iron on a par 3. Like, wow, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
And you have like a 7-foot tap in birdie or a par. Like, sometimes when you stop caring, and I know that he's not going to stop caring, and he's certainly not going to stop working, but when the intensity within is ratcheted down a bit, sometimes it does free you up a little bit.
All kidding aside, there is still, to me, legitimate reason to believe. Now, I don't think the Yankees, I never thought they were going to win the series before the series or even during the series, but I felt better about their chances after watching the first two games. Last night, obviously frustrating, but still, BT, it's the same thing where the Yankees are continuing to pitch and they just can't hit. Like, isn't there reason to believe at least to some extent that the Yankees offense would turn this around to where they could win a game?
Yeah, oh yeah, win a game, sure. I mean, win the series.
All right,
but
let's start with tonight.
Yes.
Like the Yankee bats at some point, especially at home, and that to me is the biggest shock. Like, I thought they were going to get to Buehler, and yeah, he was good, and yeah, the Dodger bullpen, but all these different arms, like, it can't just be the Dodgers' pen. It's also the Yankees' offense. I have to think they're going to snap out of it at some point, so why not tonight against the bullpen? And then tomorrow, it should be one game at a time, but you have Gerrit Cole, and then you're facing Flaherty for the second time. Like, remember, the Mets did beat the Dodgers twice. One was a bullpen game, and one was Flaherty the second time. Well,
those
are the next 2 days that lie ahead for the Yankees.
Now, there's a chance for sure. I think what worries me, though, was that the Dodgers are up 3 games to none. And Otani's really done nothing.
Right.
So if the Yankees, except that big double that almost went off the,
you know,
of course. But so if the Yankees bats perk up like Judge and a few other spots, I don't think it's unrealistic to think that eventually Otani's bat's going to perk up. Muncy has not done a whole lot.
Yeah, he's done nothing.
Will Smith's in a ridiculous funk, and he's still a capable, you know, long ball hitter as a catcher. Like, they got a couple of guys who can
kind of snap. Betts hasn't done major damage.
No, Mookie Betts has been good, but not quite Mookie Betts, so they've got layers to go up as well.
It's funny you say that, because before we left the air yesterday, we both said Yankees were going to win yesterday.
Yep.
And then as I get closer to game time and I'm at home, I'm thinking about exactly what you said. Actually, it was on my drive home. That my mindset was, well, the Yankees are pitching well. It's just a matter of time before they break out. And it didn't cross my mind until shortly before the game that, you know what? The Dodgers are also due for a breakout. But even last night, it still didn't happen. They got to Schmidt early on, but they didn't break out offensively.
No.
Neither of these teams had.
No, they haven't. And I do think in a series like this, now, if it's a slugfest type of series, which obviously it's not so far, I think it's a little closer. Like, I think the Yankees probably match up better with that if they're swinging the bats well, and the Dodgers are swinging the bat well, than a series where the Yankees are trying to win 4-2, 3-1. Like, those tighter games, to me, the advantage is L.A. because they've got more speed. They got more guys 1-9 who can get on base and hurt you a little bit.
They're just a better team.
They are.
888-808-1019. Mike is calling from Goshen, Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
Hey, BT and Sal, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I'm gonna say something, and you guys are gonna probably disagree with me. So just hear me out for a second, and I'm gonna say something against the grain. But I don't think that Judge should be a Yankee captain, because the captaincy of the Yankees has been given to people who have performed in the regular season and postseason throughout their history. Why is Judge the captain of this team? And I think that that's a question we have to discuss, because we gave him something, we gave him a status before he really achieved that. And he's, no, hold on for a second. What have we won with him? He has been horrible in the postseason.
Hold on a second.
In the postseason.
We know that. I know. The reason he got the C.
But isn't that the problem? We're elevating his status to this, like, he's the guy, he's the captain. But why? Why did they give him that title?
I'm going to tell you. First of all, he earned it based on his superior play and character, number one. And also, Mike, don't forget, this is very important, as an enticement to remain with the Yankees.
Yeah.
All right, number one. What did Mattingly win?
Yep.
Hold on. Mattingly was the captain.
What did he win?
But in that one series, he played in the postseason.
What did he win?
He was a captain before that,
win?
Though, Mike. That had nothing to do with it.
Hold on. He was never in the postseason. In his career, he was only in the postseason for one series.
Oh, I know. There's not a bigger Mattingly fan on the planet than me. I know every stat. I know.
But that's the point.
Yeah, but you're saying, like, you know, that Judge was given the captaincy without earning it. Well, Mattingly was given the captaincy the stats were comparable. Donnie did a few things better than Judge. Judge does a couple things better than Donnie. It's probably a wash at the end of the day. But Mattingly hadn't had a single postseason at bat before he was named captain. So you've got to be consistent. I don't agree with that.
And me neither. And by the way, who gives a crap about the captain right now? What you should be concerned about is just performing in the postseason, which, by the way, no matter how they change this team, I'm going to have plenty of time to talk about that when this series is in fact over, how they change this team. Judge isn't going anywhere. And that question about, okay, well, they did this, this, and this, and this to change the team, keep the, Soto, whatever it may be, is Judge going to be able to perform in the postseason? Because until it happens, we haven't seen it happen yet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.